to just appear to be more humble than what I really am. But I wish I could preach like I want to preach. I wish I could preach like I want to preach. I ask y'all to be with me as I try to speak for a few moments. And subject that I'm going to try to speak on this morning, or this evening, this afternoon, I guess, for a few moments, is what is commonly called free will. I had a conversation one time with a person that is actually a good friend of mine. And during the conversation, he just asked me the question. He was talking about something, and he said, after all, we all have a free will. He said, don't you agree that we've all got a free will? And I said, well, no, I don't necessarily agree with that, that we have a free will. And something come up, and he told me, he said, well, we'll continue this conversation later, but we never were able to finish the conversation. I still hope someday that we can. But it sent me to thinking, which, I mean, that's something we've always thought about, I guess, but it set me to thinking about free will. Why is it that man likes to exalt his free will? Why is free will played up so much by mankind? And as I thought of that, I thought of the scripture there in Romans chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. But if man has a free will, then he's got something that he can glory in. And by nature, we all, as human nature, just as our human nature, our old Adamic nature, we want to say that there's something that we can do. We want to exalt ourselves. And that's why people will want to believe in free will. The only free man, the only man that I guess that I could say that apart from the Lord Jesus Christ that ever had a free will was Adam. Adam had a free will, but we see where his free will went. His free will led to the fall. And ever since the fall, man has not had a free will. The only will that man has is ruled by his nature, and his nature is sin. He's got a free will to sin, but that's the only free will that he has, his free will. But people like to exalt themselves, make themselves to be something that they're not. If they have a free will, if man could convince himself that he has a free will, then he doesn't have to depend on God because he has a will of his own. But if you understand that our free will is only bent towards sin, then we have to totally depend upon God. One of the hardest things for me to ever come to, as the Lord brought me along in my life to understand the doctrines of grace, but one of the hardest things that I ever came to understand, and one of the greatest blessings that I have really come to understand, is that I didn't have anything to do with my salvation, not even a little part that I had to do with my salvation. It's all of God. It had nothing to do with my free will. Now, there's a scripture over in the book of Acts, the 17th chapter of Acts. But what I would say about free will, if somebody, Brother Zach preached this morning, preached us a wonderful sermon on how that God is the God of creation. Now, if God is the God of creation, that ought to tell us, as he very aptly pointed out, tells us something about who God is. If God is the creator, as he definitely is the creator, then to say that man has a free will that would trump God's will goes contrary to the very being of God. Paul in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, we have the account of Paul that preached to the group of people on Mars Hill. I've often wondered if I was called upon to speak to a group of people that didn't know anything about God, didn't know anything about the Bible, didn't know anything about Jesus Christ, what would I preach about? What would I tell them about? Well, we've got a good example of what would happen in a case like that, because Paul was preaching to a group of heathen people. They were not believers. They didn't know anything about the true God. And when he spoke to them there in the 17th chapter of Acts, as it's recorded, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious." Now, what he meant was they were too religious. They were religious, but they were too religious. They didn't know anything about the true religion of God. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now here's what Paul began to preach to these group of heathens. He began by teaching them and talking to them about the very sovereignty of a creator God. He said, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." Paul told them about a God that created everything, a God that they owed their very breath to. I think maybe Brother Leroy mentioned this last. Somebody mentioned this recently, I heard. Every breath that you breathe comes from God. God can stop that at any time he wants to. And he told those people, "You worshiping all these gods," he said, "I'm going to tell you about this God that created everything, and in him you live and move and have your being. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bound of their habitation." We talk about our country being from sea to shining sea, and I love this country. I don't love it like I do love the church or like I love God, but I've got a great affection for this country. And it's from sea to shining sea. But you know those boundaries and those determined, those coasts and all that, that was determined before the world ever began. "That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." So